Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you've missed any past programs, you'd like to go back and listen to those, you can find those at kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. And that goes for all of the programming that is here on KPCG, and there's quite a bit of it, so hopefully you have some time to listen to our programming. Well, it's easy to look around at the world today and think that things have always been as we see them right now. And as we get older, though, we do realize more and more how things do change because we see changes happen over the course of our lifetime. One area that this is really apparent in is that of technology. Technology has changed so much in my lifetime, and my children think there wasn't a time before, you know, computers were used as much as they are, or, you know, the phone technology and all of that. But, of course, it's relatively new when you look at the last 40, 50 years or so. But it's easy to just think that things have always been as they are today, but they haven't been that way. This world and this civilization of man wasn't always here. America wasn't always here. So scientists, they speculate about what was here before mankind, and they don't know, so they make guesses. And most people are fine to accept those guesses. And it's easy to say something happened 30 million years ago because who's here to say that it didn't happen, right? We've only lived within the normal human lifespan. So everyone alive today is 100 years or less, with maybe a few exceptions. We haven't lived that long. And so people have guesses about what happened. But we don't have to guess about what happened years ago. We don't have to guess about it because God reveals it in His Word. God reveals what happened long before man existed. And let's take a look at some of that history. And the reason we're looking at it is because it informs our knowledge about what God is doing with us today. If we're lost in the present, we don't even really know where we're going or what we're doing. And so we need to know the beginning of the story to understand where we are today and where we're going. Notice this passage in John 1 and verse 1. We're going to look at a few Bible passages today. So if you have a Bible, please get it out. We can look at these together and see what God's Word says. John 1 and verse 1, this is the real beginning of the Bible in the sense of the earliest time that's mentioned, much earlier than Genesis, Genesis 1. John 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And this is what is written by Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Mr. Gerald Fleury in the Bible Correspondence Course. That course is free. It's the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's at thetrumpet.com. And if you've not signed up for that, please do so. It's absolutely free. It's a wonderful course that gets into many important subjects in your Bible. But Mr. Fleury writes this about John 1 and verse 1. He says, "There are two beings discussed here, God and the Word. As Herbert W. Armstrong made plain in his masterful book, Mystery of the Ages, these two made one God, like one family. They were both God in the same sense that two members of the same family could both be Smith. This one verse tells the story of a past eternity. Here was a time when there was only God and the Word. Nothing yet had been created, not even a single angel. There was just God and the Word. That's what's revealed. And it should be understandable to us how they existed. They were not a trinity, as there's a false teaching on that, but they were not that. They were two separate beings, but they were both God. Well, how can that be? Well, whatever your last name is, you have parents or had parents with the same last name, siblings with the same last name, you're of that family. And so you have the same last name, but you're very different people, of course, right? Similar, but different and unique. And that's the same with God and the Word. They're members of the God family, as it's become now, but they were two separate beings, but they were both God. So what did God and the Word do in all this time, we could call it, I guess, before mankind and even the angels? Well, we don't know. We don't know what they did because God doesn't reveal it in His Word. It will be interesting to find out at some point, but it's not essential knowledge right now. So we're not going to guess because we don't know what they did. Many people guess about things. You know, some scientists would guess if they're not looking to God's Word to direct their science. They'd guess at it and say, well, maybe this, maybe that. But we don't know. God hasn't revealed it. So we'll not pay too much attention to that right now. But it's interesting to think about. I mean, they did exist for all eternity. And it'll be interesting to find out what was all done at that point. But we're brought to the point in the story here now where there's just the two of them and they begin to create. Our focus needs to be on what God has created and what He's doing and what He's working on in our lives right now. Mr. Fleury notes in the correspondence course, it says, why does he go back even before the angel plan? I mean, John's going way back here. He says, probably because of what happened to Lucifer and one-third of the angels. That plan, we could call it Plan A, had failed. And, of course, you know some of that history, I think, where Lucifer and a third of the angels rebelled against God. They rebelled and actually became Satan and the demons. So that plan had failed. Lucifer, whose name literally means light bringer, Mr. Fleury writes, brought light. And then something tragic happened. He lost this light. God and the Word had lived together for all eternity in unity and in love. Perfectly unified forever. Imagine that. That's something that is rare. It's God rare. Mr. Fleury says, after the angels were created, Lucifer and one-third of the angels rebelled. And for the first time ever in the universe, there was rebellion, disunity, and a lack of love. So there had been love and unity, and all of a sudden there's this disunity on the scene, this lack of love. What a terrible thing. But God had a plan for that. But as a quick aside, it's interesting to note love and unity and to think about that. How did God and the Word always have unity and love? Because we want unity, we want love in our lives. Well, notice something here in John 8 and verse 29. John 8 and verse 29. It says this. This is Christ speaking here. It says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, that's easy to read over and maybe not think a lot on, but it is a very deep thing. God was always with Christ. The Father was always with Christ. Why? Because Christ did those things that pleased God. He lived according to God's laws. There was law, and Christ followed it. And, of course, God the Father follows it, too. The way they lived was codified in the Ten Commandments. That's the way they lived. And it produced peace and unity. And so if two people want to be unified, they both need to follow the law of God. Right? That's where the love and the unity comes from. They both have to be in agreement with God and striving to obey God. Now, if we want unity with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and other people, we need to do what pleases God the Father. And 1 John 5 and verse 3 says that the love of God is keeping his commandments. And I think we've all heard that before, but it's the truth. There's a lot of thought out there about what love is, what constitutes love. Well, the Bible tells us keeping God's Ten Commandments, that's love. How do you love somebody? You keep God's commandments. And that outgoing concern for them will be apparent in the way that you keep God's law. Lucifer rebelled against the law of God. He didn't do what pleased God, and so he sinned, and he broke God's law. Satan lives contrary to God's law. So there's a lack of unity because the law is being broken. So God the Father and Christ, they always have had, and they continue to have, perfect unity because they perfectly obey the law of God. If we find that we have some disunity in our lives, then we need to examine our law keeping. How well are we keeping the law of God? Because if we're keeping God's law, when we're really striving to do that, we're going to become more and more unified. Division comes when the law is broken. So it's important that we look at that cause of unity and understand it. And the disunity came into the universe when Satan and the demons rebelled and became Satan and the demons. You know, Lucifer and the angels rebelled and became Satan and the demons, and disunity was in the universe. And so God had to do another plan. Mr. Fleury writes that God didn't inspire John to talk about that rebellion in John 1 and verse 1 because God now had another plan, a better plan. Why are we looking at this? Well, because this is all about you and me. That plan, that better plan, was the creation of mankind. You and me. It was a creation. The creation of mankind. This plan B is a family plan. That's why it's a better plan. Lucifer and the angels were not part of the God family. They didn't have that opportunity. They had some wonderful opportunities, but they did not have that opportunity. But you and I, mankind, we were created to eventually be born into the family of God. That's why we exist today. And if we don't understand that, we're very much lost in the present and don't really know what to do with ourselves. We don't really have much of a purpose. And a lot of people sort of, you know, go along from one pleasure to another because that seems to be the main point of life, is to get as much pleasure as possible. And of course, God does want us to have pleasure in a proper way, but there's purpose beyond just this physical life that we experience now. And it's to be born into the family of God. So why wasn't man plan A? Well, it's a riskier plan. It's a riskier plan, but it's one with far greater potential. It's risky. Mr. Fleury writes, now God was taking a chance of losing the Word, who later became his Son upon begettal in the Virgin Mary. The Word would have to divest himself of his eternal glory and live a perfect life. And so there was a great risk involved here. And if somebody says, well, Christ, you know, he couldn't fail, don't believe that. It's not true. He could have. Thankfully, he did not. He used God's Spirit perfectly. But there was a risk. There was a risk. He did have to come to this earth as a human being, divest himself of his eternal power and glory, and live a perfect life in the flesh, and then be killed in order for mankind to have a chance to be born into the family of God. Family is a wonderful blessing, but it does come with some risk, even on the physical level. Sometimes there is heartache if something goes wrong in a family. Maybe you've experienced that, or you know someone who has. When there is a family bond, it's a wonderful thing, but if something breaks there, if the law is broken and disunity enters, then there's a lot of heartache. And sometimes people are so afraid of getting hurt that they close off their ability to love, or they close off their ability to have a family. They don't want that because they're afraid of being hurt. And that happens sometimes to humans. But thankfully, God doesn't do that. Now, have you ever thought about the fact that God has been hurt many times? God's been hurt. He's created man. He loves man. He works with mankind. And it hurts him to see man hurting each other. You know, when you watch the news and you see murders in cities and rural communities and you see abuses and you see thievery and you see violence, and you see all these different things, it hurts God that man does that. It hurts him. And even his own people, those that God has called, and he's called out a few today, God has to call people. John 6 and verse 44 makes that plain. He's called out people, and many of them have turned their backs on him and rebelled against him. We are in the Laodicean era. You can look at Revelation 3 and see that. We're in this Laodicean era today. There are these seven church eras from Christ all the way to his second coming. From his first coming to his second coming, there's seven church eras. We're in that last era, that Laodicean era. It is marked by a great turning away. And you can read a lot about that in Malachi's message. That's a free book at thetrumpet.com. That hurts God. That hurts him very much. And yet, he still works to have a family. He works to have a family, and he risked everything. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they risked everything to have a family. They risked it all for us because they want the family to expand. Mr. Fleury writes that God went from plan A to plan B because of the greatest catastrophe in the universe to that point. The angelic rebellion showed God that the angels could not be trusted to rule the universe. It would take created sons who had the very character of God. So God planned to recreate himself through man. That's his ultimate creation. We each individually must become perfect as our Father is perfect. That's in Matthew 5 and verse 48. Otherwise, we will not be born into God's family. We will fail as one-third of the angels did. So we need to be developing the character of God in this life. That's the importance of this life, is developing that character. Is God concerned about you personally? Does he pay much attention to what you do? Of course he does, because you are his ultimate creation. Every human being is his ultimate creation. He is trying to recreate himself, and so mankind is a step in that process. It's easy to think, well, you know, I'm nobody, and God doesn't care much about me or what I'm doing, and there's so many people on this earth, and he cares very much about every single person, especially those that he's working with specifically today, and of course, he will work with all people in due course according to the season that they're called. Satan wants us to think we're not, you know, very important in that sense, that God doesn't care, that Christ doesn't care, or they, you know, they don't pay that much attention. They do pay attention, very much attention. It's the ultimate creation. It's recreating himself. So we want to make sure we understand that. Notice John 1, verses 10 through 12. It says, he was in the world, Christ, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't even know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Even the Jews didn't receive him, most of them. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to do what? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we have the power to do that, those that God has called and is working with. It is an interesting point, though, that most people didn't accept Christ. I mean, when he died, there was only 120 converts. That was it. Christ himself. Most people don't like God's message. Mr. Fleury writes this, power in the Greek actually means right as well as power. Two phenomenal words. We have the right, a birthright, to be born into the family of God, not because we earned it, but because God gives it as a gift. However, that of itself is not enough. God says we must also have power to be born into his family. We cannot do it humanly. It takes God's power to overcome and grow. So there's no way we're going to do it on our own. We don't have that type of power. We're just humans. We can't do it. But God's given us the power. If you've been called and if you've been baptized by his true ministry, with the laying on of hands, he gives you the Holy Spirit. You know, when there's repentance and change and baptism. So we can think of our God family potential in terms of right and might. Easy to remember because it rhymes. So you have the honorable right to be born into God's family, but you also need the power of God, God's Holy Spirit, to take advantage of that right. So we need God's help. We're not going to be able to do it by ourselves. But this is the greatest plan that God has ever had. He is recreating himself. He is making more gods. Just think about how long God and the Word had to plan out the whole process. I mean, it's the more you think about it, the more it stretches your mind. They've made the massive universe that we can just see parts of, and it just keeps expanding when the more we look. And all the systems that make this world sustain life, our physical bodies and our minds, all of these things. But the greatest thing that God can create is himself. He's going to make another God, and then another, and then another, and then another. Lots of gods. The family, the God family, is expanding. And God the Father and Jesus Christ are not casual about what you are doing and how your life is progressing. They didn't lose track of what's up with you. They know what's going on and what you're doing and what I'm doing. They are very involved in the lives of those that they are working with today. Very involved, because this is the ultimate creation. There's nothing that matters more. Nothing. This isn't a side project or a hobby. It's everything to God. It's everything to him. And it should be to us too. But Satan wants to distract us away from that. Mr. Fleury writes, God wants us in his family. He came to this earth to open up the family of God to man, to invite man into his family. This was radically different to anything he ever did with the angels. But this was now the ultimate and supreme plan of God, a plan that not even God could exceed in greatness, the plan of recreating himself. So how amazing is this plan? Well, let's look at one last scripture that gives us some insight into how amazing it is. Notice 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. So this gospel message, this good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God, man being recreated as God, man being born as God beings, God recreating himself through man, this plan, it says, these things, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels want to look into this. The angels. They're interested, very interested, in what God is doing through mankind. They're really looking at it. They're watching it. They're watching the whole process. Now, angels, they have eternal life. They live. They have life inherent to where they don't die. And they are looking at us as humans, and they're fascinated by the plan of God that he's working through mankind, that God is creating other gods, that he's recreating himself in man. Even the angels desire to look into this. It's an amazing, amazing plan, and that gives us some insight into how amazing it is. Even the angels are stooping down to look into what God is doing in your life. And if God and the angels are so excited about God's plan for you, how excited about God's plan are you? How excited am I? If they're that excited about it, how much more excited should we be about it? There really isn't a reason to be down and depressed, is there, when we understand this great plan that God has for mankind? That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.